It's now time for America's favorite radio program, the David Williams Radio Affliction. Now here's your host and modulator of the David Williams Radio Affliction, Peter Clay.
And welcome back to the Radio Affliction. It hasn't been all that long. It's just been a little couple of weeks and stuff like that. It's good to be back. We have a returning guest joining me here today. My brother Adam hasn't been on in a while, but it's good to have him back on. Say hello to everyone.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Also want to give thanks to rmedia.org and their partner archive.org. They make the Radio Affliction possible. They have been hosting the show probably unwillingly for quite some time now, but they deserve love all the same. So if you want to go out and check those sites out and find all the interesting content that's available out there, archive.org is an amazing site that finds all this old archive footage of things like the old animated what's that? Oh shoot, now I'm having a brain cramp. That one cartoon that used to work where the guy's really tall and goes to the land. What's that called?
I'm not familiar with that. I'm just fascinated by the concept of the place. That's all.
There's a couple Swift, of things. Is it?
What's that?
I can't think of it. It'll come to me someday. Anyway, welcome to the program. And Adam, welcome and joining us here today. We got plenty of headlines to discuss and all that good things going on. A couple things I want to get started with. And then Adam's got possibly an announcement to make of his own later on in the program, and we'll get to that. But first, already I'm going off the board on you here. I already let you see some headlines going on. But Domino's Pizza.
Oh, dear.
I just want your thoughts on this, because we are kind of pizza connoisseurs a little bit in our lifetime.
Indeed.
It's more than just a habit. It's a way of life with us. And in my current relationship, she and I have, you know, various contests, and I finally created the ultimate pizza that brought her down in our contests and all that stuff. I had made what some would call a Chicago style stuffed pizza, but if you do a Google search for Gino's Pizza, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's just a low
Gino's.
Yeah. And so
okay.
I had successfully created one of those pizzas, and although not perfect, it was extremely, extremely satisfying, and I'm happy about that.
Well, no, because you were saying pizza is more than just a food. You know, to us, it is its own entity. It's an experience. Pizza is supposed to be an experience.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, I don't want to swallow this because then it'll be gone. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to take another bite.
There's a satisfaction to it. There's obviously, it's the definition to me of comfort food. I'm sure it's different for different people, but it's just the ultimate. All the, you know, the basic food groups are there, and all the good things and all that stuff. So
what is Domino's?
So first of all, Domino's. Let's go back in time to maybe back 20 years ago. When I was in that area, and the problem with Domino's is that it, well, I get crap comes to mind, I guess. I just can't think of anything else.
Well, no, it was just that the dough was like styrofoam, and the sauce was like tomato sauce, and the sausage looked like rabbit turds, and it just wasn't a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
But it was cheap and available, and you got it in 30 minutes, and that was the catch. It was like, you know, you'll get it, within 30 minutes or it'll be free. So, of course, everybody wanted to test and see if they could get a free pizza out of the deal and so on and so forth.
That was one campaign. Now, the newest, latest campaign is people in a room that are, you know, taking surveys and saying, you know, the pizza stuff. I would say just about everything except the rabbit turds was brought up. And so they're going to campaign saying, well, we've completely redone everything. You know, we've changed the sauce. We've changed the crust. We've using all natural ingredients. We're doing these things at the same low price type of thing. Now, my analogy on this, for some reason or another, I'm using is, I don't know what I'm thinking of. I was thinking of, for some reason, the Arena Football League, who was in order to save their company, they wouldn't play football games, but now they're coming out as a different thing. But I can't, that's not working now. It was a beautiful thought, but now it's left me.
You lost it,
man. But yeah, I'm struggling here so far. But I guess so. The only thing I would say is, here's something, let's say I had a complaint about 20 years ago, and yet here they were still in business as if they didn't care. And now they're coming off as they somehow care.
Right.
And I don't know how I feel about that, and I was interested in your opinion on that.
My opinion is that they are coming across like they are saying, give the people what they want. And we shouted it out, and you responded, so here, this is what you wanted. Boom. But no, because we're dealing with a corporation that is all over the country, and we're talking about billions of people voicing their opinion. So, of course, they're going to say, oh, well, this, we're going to make the dough like this and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, one guy likes a stuffed pizza. Another guy likes Chicago style. Another person likes it New York style. Another person likes it, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So they're projecting a, hey, we're giving you what you want. Like Burger King says, have it your way, you know. And it's the same thing. Well, it's just like, you know, maybe I just like to go to Jack in the Box, you know. Maybe I just like to.
Well, I guess that's my thing, is because to me, pizza is, like, I guess, you know, sometimes you don't have to be good, you just have to be there, you know. I mean, right. I think there's a lot to that, but, you know, there are so many different, at least I guess, right. I'll rephrase that here, because one of the reasons why I left California was I couldn't find a good pizza anywhere. But and now I'm going to get emails saying, oh, we've got great pizza out here. It's like,
For you.
Yeah.
Because you live out there and you have to deal with it. I'm over here where, I'm sorry, but Rocky Rococo is still just like, I was in the Rocky Rococo kitchen and made a pizza their way on their machines and everything. It was a little birthday thing when I was a kid, and we all went back there and, you know, got to work with everything and make your own pizza. And I'm not going to reveal any secrets, but their secret is genius. It is absolute genius. It is extremely simple, but it is just, you know, you will know you're having a Rocky Rococo pizza because of the way it is. Again, it's not any particular style. Is it a deep dish? Is it a, you know, what is it? But I don't know, but just,
well, it's certainly thicker than the most kinds. But yeah, anyway, there's this, at least out here in the Midwest where I am, not out there in the West Coast where you are, out here there's just a tremendous, you know, variety as far as that goes. We're a national chain. You know, Domino's kind of comes and goes, where, you know, whoever, you know, gets the franchise on it.
Yes.
Little Caesars has come and gone and things. So I guess I can see how out west there, I guess I can kind of see how, you know, again, you don't have to be good, you just have to be there type of thing.
You want to know how sad the scenario is out here, is that you just said that Little Caesars has come and gone. Out here in California, there's still Little Caesars and little places.
Oh, we've got them back now.
There's a Little Caesars and a Target, of all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been in Kmart's. They've been in different things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so now getting back to some of the things. Now, I don't want to dwell on this too much.
Okay.
But there just seems to be, once again, this kind of goes back to our childhood again a little bit. There was a renaissance in the mid-80s with 3D.
Yes.
You know, and so if the third movie in a series was coming out, like Friday the 13th, 3D.
Jaws, 3D. Jaws,
3D, that was the worst. I'll never forget this person being eaten and the hand just sitting there. And, oh, wow, there's a dismembered hand in a...
In 3D.
But what's funny is now is when you watch these films, you don't see them in 3D. And so then you see, because I was kind of flipping channels and Friday the 13th Part 3 was coming on and it wasn't in 3D. But here was this girl, you know, kind of twiddling a yo-yo.
Yes. No. And also just the pinnacle of that, Amityville 3D.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. There was an Amityville Horror, Amityville 2, the something or other. And Amityville 3D. And what was so sad is that in watching it as a plot, I think it was Leonard Maltin that reviewed Amityville 3D, the best in the series. So, you know, that just shows you how terrible.
Well, in that genre, I would imagine that 3D kind of gave it a little bit more of a stimulation in that where you're trying to be scary anyway.
Yeah,
adds to the tension, I guess. I don't know.
I believe a woman was getting killed by a pole breaking through the windshield and, you know, I guess, you know, hitting her in the head or, you know, whatever, doing terrible, nasty things to her or whatever. But I just remember the emphasis on the pole breaking through the windshield was just like, wow, I guess when that was in 3D, that really must have, you know, but...
Yeah. All right, anyway, so anyway, there seems to be this cycle of every 20 years or so, there's this flirtation with 3D. And I would say back in that 80s then, the apex of that came with that Captain EO at Disney World, Disneyland,
whatever,
with Michael Jackson. And, and the reason why that was kind of different on that is that usually you have this set of, you know, kind of red and blue type of thing, whereas there, I think there was a polarization with the Captain EO. There was a different way of doing it. It was a
patented way of the 3D glasses that you got for Captain EO were gray.
Yeah. Anyway, there's now a new revitalization with 3D. It came out with Avatar and a lot of these different things. And now it seems to be going into flat screen TVs, as it's announced in June that ESPN, my favorite sports network that never shows sports, just talks about it all the time.
Yes.
Is going to unveil a 3D network so that you can watch sports in 3D, starting with the World Cup. Soccer in 3D. So if they're going to have a goal cam and the ball's coming right at you, well, that might be kind of cool for a minute or two, but
sure.
I'm not. I think ESPN could do much greater things like actually showing sports than trying to do what I would call a gimmick.
It is a gimmick, and that's where we're at right now. Right now, anything, you know, you're talking about a revitalization of 3D. Well, right now, as far as entertainment is concerned, we're talking about a revitalization of everything. Everything from G.I. Joe and Transformers to, you know, I swear to God, there's going to be a My Little Pony movie in about 45 minutes, I swear.
Strawberry Shortcake, how about that?
Yes, Rainbow Bright and the Care Bears and all that crap.
Yeah, where are the Smurfs doing all this? I thought there was going to be something like that.
It's probably going to happen tomorrow, I guarantee you. No, it is just, which is good for me because I've always been a nostalgic person anyway. I've always been very reflective. I've always kind of, you know, I've always kind of held on to things from my past in a healthy way, in a healthy respect.
In your opinion, but.
And so, well, yeah, but, you know, so, you know, it's, you know, G.I. Joe is fun, brainless, gobbledygook. You know, it's just, you know, I know all these people. This is the thing that's really funny is that I loved the Transformers when I was a kid. And I've got all these coworkers and friends and people that love the Transformers movies. And I can't stand them. I cannot tolerate this movie.
Well, here's what you're talking about, though, because here's the mistake that I think has been made. And I think the mistake's been made is because a lot of these things have been done to a reasonable amount of success. And I can't tell if it's because the actual product being made is good, where in your situation with the Transformer movies, I don't think they have been, or just a rekindling of something that you're familiar with. Because I would say the greatest offense to this still to me is Star Trek. It was a good movie, granted, yes, but that could have still been a good movie without having to retread into something that you are so familiar with. The reason why it's nostalgic, feel that way, is you still have 3 seasons worth of stuff to go back to feel good about and watch in better clarity than you ever did back in the old black and white TV when you first grew up watching it. They've redone them and all that stuff. You don't need to retell the story in a whole new set of different ways.
Exactly. If you've got that much, material and you've got that much firepower to make a science fiction movie, why would you have it be Captain Kirk and have it be Spock and have it be da 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 da, you know? But that's just the thing is that I was at work and I was dealing with some customers and it was this older couple. I'd say maybe they were in their 60s and they just came out of seeing Star Trek and they had this very warm nostalgic. They were smiling. They just had a very pleasant air about them. And they told me, we just saw Star Trek. Yeah. They really looked like they enjoyed themselves.
So but my point on that is, and I've said on this program before, it's a thanks but no thanks on it, because there was, I mean, in all honesty, that crew could have been anybody.
Any crew.
Could have been a whole new crew, and you still could have had Spock come in and kind of use that to, you know, give you that connection between it, and probably in a better way than when they had Captain Kirk with the Next Generation type of thing, you know.
Yes.
So you could have done it, because the two things about that movie that I'm trying to think, I can't remember what the second one was, but my favorite character in the whole movie was a character you had never seen before. It was this little goofy little alien thing that was with Scotty. That was the whole best, you know, thing. It seemed like there was one other character that was new too.
Well, you want to know why? Because that was the only character that was original. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
In agreement with you, I will make the point. They made it Star Trek, and it was that crew because that's what would sell. Because it is something that people are familiar with. That goes. This is the thing that's funny, is that there's this high school girl who comes into my workplace, and to her, Star Trek is the best movie on the face of the planet. Oh my God! If you're gonna make a movie, make it just like Star Trek. You can't go wrong. Oh my God! All the guys are hot. All the women are hot. You know, da 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 da. She knows absolutely nothing of William Shatner. She knows absolutely nothing of even Jean-Luc Picard. She knows nothing of the old school Star Trek and the Next Generation, you know, but Star Trek, it's hot. It was a hot movie, you know, so you've got that crowd thinking the movie's hot, and then you've got the old school crowd who used to watch Star Trek when they were kids, when it was on TV for the first time. And so it's marketing genius. It's just marketing genius. Anybody that has just their ear go up to Star Trek has seen it in one form or another. And I'm not saying that it's a good movie. I haven't seen it.
I know, I recommend seeing it. I'm glad I saw it, but now I've moved on with life. Anyway, I want to remind you, you're listening to The Radio Affliction. This is the podcast version of The Radio Affliction, which you can catch on the website, radioaffliction.com. You can subscribe at iTunes to this podcast and get it downloaded to you when there's new episodes and new features that pop up. And you can also... we'll have a lot of your comments from the last couple of shows later in the program, but you can send your comments, questions, or concerns to comments@radioaffliction.com. Also, if you don't want to do that, there is a Radio Affliction shout box at radioaffliction.com where you can go in and type in your webpage, type in your name, and make a little comment and say, hey, I love your show. As a matter of fact, we've got somebody who did that right here. It was Ray Ann. W-R-A-E, I think that would be Rayanne, one of Jones Shig. Your blog is an interesting assortment of stories. Keep up the good work. There you go. You can leave a shout out. Yeah. And different things like that. And so you can just say hello and do that. So that's at radioaffliction.com. I am your host, Peter A. Clay, joined today by Adam Bradford Clay as a co-host. But you also, from the website, you can listen to our past shows, like my last show with Luke Dennis and Bummin' Cousins with the man who showed us how to make and eat a Rubby sandwich, Jim Reed. And that's a fun show to listen to.
Sandwich.
So, anyway.
I think, man.
There was just one quick little thing to wrap up the 3D theme that we got on before we got off on a tangent like the Clay Brothers will do. Is the other kind of thing about what you can do with 3D is to kind of get into the subliminal thing again. I think there was an issue with that in the 50s with 3D, is that you can kind of send in these different things that would sell you to get a soda or anything like that. And the only reason I bring this up is because it could be just because the thrill of the experience of seeing it, but I just, when I see people who've seen Avatar and just a regular, you know, theater, they say, good movie, you know, great, glad I saw it, move on with life type of thing, it was great. And anyone who sees it in 3D comes back saying, I love it. I think it's the greatest movie I've ever seen. I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Personal opinion there or anything.
But... I just, you know, this seems weird to me that anyone who sees it in 3D, it could be just the most incredible experience ever.
Yes. Like they've just had a religious experience or something. Like they've just witnessed the opening of the sky. Like, oh my goodness, it's beautiful.
I don't want to cast aspersions on my brother here, but I'm taking it that you're not the biggest follower of politics.
Not the biggest follower of politics, no.
So you wouldn't know if someone was a Republican, a Democrat, or anything else like that?
No, I would not. No, I would not. Sometimes I find out this information, and sometimes, you know, this is the thing that's funny, is that I will judge people by their character and by their personality. And then there are some times where certain parts of their personality start to show through, and that makes you go, oh, they're kind of like this. Okay, they're this type of person, they're this type of person, and then you find out, oh, they're a Republican, or oh, they're a Democrat, you know, and everything. It sifts through every once in a while. It's really fascinating to watch, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't automatically, you know, I won't like see a Republican convention and just say, oh my God, blow the place up or something. You know, I'm not like that.
But if I did a word association with you, and it would ask you to give me the first word that comes to your mind when I say the word politician, it would be,
you know, that's really funny because I was going to say Republican.
Really?
That was my response when you said politician.
All right.
I was expecting you to say Republican and I was going to say Democrat.
Okay.
But you said, you know, so, yeah.
You were trying to read. Well, I'm just reading this. This is on the Radio Affliction here from January 7th about the pending retirement of Christopher Dodd, who's a Democrat from Connecticut, but it doesn't really matter. He's retiring, and so, but he's also, until he retires, he's also the chairman of a highly influential committee. And so this is from ABC News, and the line is, freed from his liberal base and moneyed donors, Senator Christopher Dodd can now cast himself as the honest broker in negotiations over a massive Wall Street regulation bill. Now, does anything sound funny about that?
Well, it just doesn't sound like they're painting a very good picture of him the way that they phrase it. That's all.
But would that be about any politician? So what he's saying is, okay, so if you're still in office and you're up for re-election, you can't be an honest broker in negotiations. You automatically assume – that's why I was trying to do – I was going to think if I said politician, if you'd say crumb bum or something like that. So
something that you can't say.
So since he's
airwaves.
Since he's a Democrat, that would, you know, they tend to be called liberals and then conservatives for Republicans. So freed from his liberal base and moneyed donors, since he's not up for re-election, he's not going to be getting campaign contributions, essentially, exactly, is what he's saying there. So he can now cast himself as the honest broker. So what he's insinuating is he hasn't been, and therefore – any politician that's in office then.
And also that he will be being an honest businessman because he has cast himself away from his liberal da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yeah.
They're saying, okay, he's broken free from the Democrats now, so he's an honest businessman.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. That's just me, you know.
And we'll move over the John Edwards story because that's – It's kind of important, but you know, if you're not following politics or anything, it's not.
No,
but he was almost like he could have been the vice president of the United States, and his wife had cancer, and he had an affair with someone else, and then had a baby with him and all that stuff. So he
just sounds like that article was written by a Republican. That's all.
Listen, all right. How about this story? Now, you then again, not only are you not in the politics, then. You're not a big follower of sports as well.
I enjoy the game. My philosophy is I will watch the last quarter of a football game. That's a good time. Okay. But I just, you know, the first half of the game, it just seems like everybody's dropping the ball and it's just, oh, this, that, and da, da, da. And you know what, man? I could be over here doing this. Let me know when the last quarter's up. I'll be in there. I'll be shouting with all y'all. But you know, in the meantime, which is why, you know, I can imagine watching the last quarter of a football game in 3D. That would be fun.
Really?
But I wouldn't expect, I wouldn't be able to sit through a whole football game watching it in 3D. You'd get a headache and you know.
I'm learning a little bit about my brother here, a little bit that I didn't know. That's interesting, you know, because you've never been offended by sports. It's just like, if I put sports on, you would be like, okay, well, I'm out of here then, you know, type of thing. But you've never really particularly followed the team or anything like
that. I don't follow, because to me it's not about the team, because any team can have a crappy game, you know, and that's where you start getting into the behavior of some of my coworkers, and you know, the behavior of some, when you bring up sports and you start talking about this player or that team or their defense or their offense or their linebacker sucks or their, you know, whatever, and da 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 da, you know, they get heated. People get heated. And to the point of belligerence. And it's just like, you guys are talking about a game. Relax. You know,
I can respect that, because, you know, it's hard to, especially since that attitude that you're talking about right there has led to a whole genre of, I mean, it took over talk radio. I mean, because when I was in radio, I mean, the best that we could do when we did a startup sports talk show network was 2 hours a night between 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, which means when it was nationwide, it was middle of the night, you know, type of thing. That's the best we could do Monday through Friday, type of thing. So now, I mean, it's 24/7 and all that stuff. And so it leads to these attitudes to the point where, like I say, a network that's devoted to sports – won't show sports. Yes. It'll do talk radio on TV.
Yes.
And it's just, it'll get a panel of sports writers to talk
about. Because people get so heated and people get so emotional, it's entertaining. Yeah. People love seeing, and you know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, when you turn on TV, you turn on ESPN and you see it happening there. You hear the guy on the telephone just going off on a tirade. It's entertaining. But when, you know, you're at work, you know, and there's two guys in your works that, like, that would be like two people in Radio Shack getting into a fight because one guy's saying the 49ers suck, and he's saying, well, you suck. Well, then, da da da, you know, and it's just like, you guys are about to fight in a public place.
So,
you
know,
you're not on ESPN, guys. There isn't a camera filming you, so, you know.
Yeah, no, I respect your position on these things, because you can separate the fact to realize that this is the diversion, this is entertainment, and it's the actual game that's the entertainment.
Yes.
My flaw is that I, you know, glommed on to, I take it as heredity, the, you know, my male, you know, bonding of my father and my grandfather type of thing.
Football,
Well, baseball too, to a certain degree, then too. Then.
Absolutely.
Grandpa watched all sports. I mean, religiously, but they also followed a team. One would admit one, and the other, wouldn't. Type of thing. So that does strange things to young children.
Well, you know, sports fans, there are diehard sports fans. They're just like, you know, they will be with the 49ers for life. Like, you have been with the, you know, you were with the Green Bay Packers for your life, you know. And if somebody said, you know, just even like, you know, if somebody said, you know, hey, you want to go to a Packer game? You'd be like, hell yeah. And you'd be up there and you'd be watching it and you'd be, you know, because you're a fan. And but there are some very fickle sports fans out there, where this is where I thought it was hilarious, because, you know, there's always been like a little closet Green Bay Packer fan in me, just simply because it is nostalgia. And, you know, I spent the first part of my childhood in Wisconsin, and I watched you just go throw tantrums over games they would lose, but you were a devoted fan. And so Green Bay Packers have always been with me. So back in the 90s, when they won the Super Bowl, all of a sudden everybody in Oakland, who's normally Raider Nation and wearing the, you know, the black and the silver and everything like that, But, you know, I was just like, I am, I was like, cool. I'm in the right place.
Well, once finally. Again, we've gone way off the topic that I was trying to get. Because I remember you know, in someone who doesn't follow a team, because, I mean, to me, what makes part of the game is that the game is made up of a certain amount of teams. That's what makes the game. And these teams play each other and they rotate around and all that stuff to make up matchups and all that stuff and to create interest and rivalries and all that type of thing. You had an interesting take on what would interest you in sports. I remember two things on that. One, you've made that point before about, I'll watch the ending of a game because that, you know, shows the
final. That's where everybody's got their game on. That's when everybody is finally prepared.
I don't know so much about football. The only quarter I don't like in football is the third quarter for some reason. The third quarter always seems to drag on. It seems to be like the middle child for some reason, you know, because the first quarter you're getting started into the game, so you're getting all warmed up and all that stuff, and you know, you are kind of testing the waters a little bit, and then you kind of get into halftime, and you know, and then you're kind of getting ready for the food and all that, and then you're back, and you kind of get the insulin rush, you've gone to the bathroom, and so the third quarter is just kind of there, and then it leads to the finale, then that kind of.
The third quarter just kind of feels like a filler.
Yeah,
you know, because you're not at the last quarter yet, and that sense of determination, that rush that you get, that is like, okay, it's now, you have to do this now, you know, or else you will fail. When that sense of urgency happens in the fourth quarter, that's where people are like, okay, if I throw this ball, you better catch the mother, you know, and that's where there's that urgency. Where there isn't that urgency in the third quarter, where there's like, you know, because basically, you know, they'll have plays, they'll have the last play, and they'll be like, okay, we can da 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 da, but in the meantime, okay, how are we going to keep them busy, and maybe make a touchdown?
There's some flaws in your theory though, because now when I think about it, you know, some things can happen in the third quarter, and some things happen in the beginning, and then the fourth quarter is can the other team hold on to what they've done, or is it tied and stuff? So I mean, there's, you know, it's not bad, but anyway, so we're gonna get to this point here eventually. I know it. The second thing I also remember is you kind of helped me. I kind of used to put soccer on or English football in the background because there was noise and I could work on my projects and things, and every now and then something would actually happen, and that was kind of exciting type of thing. But you said, yeah, I could watch this, I could get involved in this, because you know what, there's something always going on, you know, there's always movement going on. Yeah. But that's not the point either, what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
So the point is, what makes it entertaining? Is it the game itself? Is it the teams? Is it the players? Is it what makes up the league? I mean, because there's a thought here by somebody, and I don't know the whole story on it. There is a link to it on radioaffliction.com, about a new pro basketball league, that its one niche on it is that it will only have white players. And so, is that the thing where, okay, is basketball, because I can tell you, I fell out of favor with basketball somewhere along the line, and it just came across to me again earlier this year. I used to like basketball. I used to play it.
You used to play it back in the day. You broke your foot playing basketball.
I did. It was exciting. Got me a lot of sympathy with the girls and everything. And I don't mind playing it every now and then too, but it just kind of seem pointless to me. But the other thing about it that really, really super bothered me was, what was it that someone said that you can't be a sport if it's judged? You know what I mean? Because there's no competition then. And the thing is that the officials were making up too much of the ball game. You know, a foul here or a foul not called there. And, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of an up-and-coming team now. They've been so bad for so long, and now it seems that they got a good nucleus of players, and they're really trying hard, and they were playing the Los Angeles Lakers, the defending champions, and is going into overtime, and Kobe Bryant, the biggest star in the game, just totally bulldozes a guy, and they call the foul on the guy, you know, and not on Kobe
Bryant,
you know, and that just reminded me why I hate basketball. So there just seems to be a fundamental flaw with basketball, and it doesn't really have anything to do about who's actually playing it. The fact that black people have taken over the sport, or anything, or it's street ball or anything like that. I just think there's a fundamental flaw with basketball, and I don't think it doesn't matter whether it's – I don't think it's a black or white issue. And I guess the whole point I was trying to get at is what is the entertainment value for you not a sports fan? What does make it interesting to that fact?
There is a level of complexity with basketball that I could never play basketball to save my life, because I can't dribble. I can't even dribble the ball without looking at it. I got to look at the ball, and the fact that you can dribble the ball and do all of this. But you know, when you watch a street game and you see it all happening, and it's all, you know, all of these miraculous things are happening. I mean, it's fascinating. But you know, that's where, you know, a lot of fouls aren't being called. You know, there isn't a lot, you know, cause you know, people are just like, I mean, they will be right up in somebody's face, and they'll be shoving, and they'll be, you know, just damn near tackling, but it continues. And that's where your flaw with basketball, you know, televised basketball, it's like, you know, there's so many fouls, so many, you know, and that's the thing, is that there can be so many things going on in basketball. They can get the foul incorrectly. You're like, well, I don't really know what went wrong there, but something was wrong there. I don't know who, somebody shoved somebody and somebody ended up on the ground, yeah. You know? And
well,
so,
like you said,
it may be completely misjudged to the judges there in the stadium. They will call something off of what they saw with their own eyes, when everybody at home who saw it on TV and saw the replays are going, no, are you crazy? You know, so there's just so much going on in basketball. I can't handle it. You know?
Yeah. I don't see it as a black and white issue. And to say, oh, well, this will make the game better if there's, you know, going to be a league where they'll be, you know, sticking to the fundamentals.
Type. Well, here's a trip. Here's something that's a trip. This is not a black and white issue. This is, it's a different kind of issue. It's kind of a negative issue, because there was, when I was learning how to play pool, our father had a book by Willie Moscone, and Dad had it, and he handed it over to me, and he said, now get ready, okay, because pool is for hustlers, okay? You can learn how to play this honest game of pool and be the best pool player that you can possibly be, but anywhere you go, any bar, any pool hall, any anything, it's all about the hustle. It's all about the hustle, and that's what basketball is. You have to hustle. Okay.
That's
now
good.
Basketball originated as a very white bread sport, where there was a skill level and there were pads that you wore, and there were, you know, and it was like, you know, my three sons, you know, all playing basketball together. You know, Billy's at basketball practice and da 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 da. But there has been in order to play basketball, you got to hustle your ass.
Yeah.
And so
that is an excellent point. I'm going to share a little story with you. I'm not sure you knew or anything like that, but I had a little bit in Oaktown there, a little street cred for just a small little while. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I was white. It was the fact that, you know, I made a couple points there, and I was a pretty good passer and all that stuff. But there was a time where we're you know, that it comes out at you fast, and there's like two times that they pass the ball to me, the ball would go right through my hands. So they say, boy, get out of here. You know, that had nothing to do with I was white or anything like that. Say, hey, you know what? I was no good.
You dropped the ball. And everybody looks at each other and says, okay, you saw that happen twice. Don't throw the ball to him again, man, because, yeah, and that's got nothing to do with whether you were from, you could be from down south, you could be from upstate, you could be Chinese, you could be whatever. You know, what's that guy's name? That 7 foot tall Asian dude,
Yao
playing
Ming.
Basketball. My God, it's just like, you know, you look at him and you're just like, I didn't even know somebody like you existed, man. You know, here's a basketball, man. Play away. God, right. Love it.
We've just taken up way too much time and a whole bunch of stuff. So let's kind of do kind of a lightning round here. I did this with Luke last time, kind of called it headlines, but everyone calls it headlines. I'm going to go back to what I initially started to call it when I revamped the Radio Affliction. That was the news you didn't know you needed to know. So we'll try and go. I'll read off the headline. I won't get much into the story, and we'll just kind of go with our first thoughts, and then we'll move on. Doctor claims he has evidence of the afterlife. You know, taking experiments from people who were near death. And my point on it was, yeah, near death is not dead. You're still alive, which means the brain's still going and still functioning, and you can capable of seeing and doing anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's still life left in you, and you know, no matter whether you are alive and well or you're near death, you cannot see the future. And so everybody's talking about this tunnel, and there's this light at the end of the tunnel, and when you reach that da-da-da-da-da, it's just like, that is the future, my friend.
It's one of those things where that doesn't mean I don't think there isn't an afterlife or anything like that. But we're going back to Star Trek here.
Only people who truly know die.
Are dead. That's the thing. Is that McCoy said to Spock, "You mean I have to die to discuss my feelings of death with you?" Anyway, okay, moving on. 3 Mile Island. Do you remember 3 Mile Island?
Barely.
You're 6 years old when that happened. Okay, so it's a nuclear power plant out in Pennsylvania, and it's the problem with news. They just say things in order for you to kind of understand or to make it scarier. It said that in 1979 that there was a partial meltdown, and that's technically not accurate. There was a stuck valve in one of the reactors, and in order to keep it from melting down, they had to do a little thing. And what happened was, in order to do what they had to do to get it back to normal, they had to release a certain amount of radiation, and that scared the heck out of a lot of people, when in reality, there's enough things in the air that are probably worse of killing you.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's like your microwave in your kitchen. I love the term partial meltdown, though. That's kind of like saying you almost have herpes. You know, it's just partial
slightly
meltdown.
Slightly pregnant, yeah. That type.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool because, you know, they make these things sound so weird and all that stuff. What a meltdown would kind of mean, or what the China syndrome is that it would literally melt down into the ground, you know, is what that actually means. So, but anyway.
Like a big nasty hole with it. Yeah.
When that happened, there was a generator that was part of that reactor, is that they took it out then, and it hasn't been used since until now. That generator is going to be moved, and so apparently there was a nuclear reactor in North Carolina that said, hey, we could use a generator. You got one? Well, we got this one that I haven't used since the accident. And
just kind of taking up closet space.
So, yeah, you know. If you want it, go ahead, type of thing. So, but my thought on it was my only thing that I – positive thing that I have to say about either the book or the movie World According to Garp is that they're looking at the house, and this plane crashes into it. And I said, you know what? We'll take the house. I said, what? Well, what's the odds of this happening again?
If this is what happens now, then what's the worst that can possibly happen? But my problem
was a meltdown? No. Okay. Well, here we go. We'll take it then.
The only problem that I foresee, though, is that they were talking about something got stuck in some valve or whatever. And, you know, obviously this thing is going to have to be researched before you start pumping energy through it. I mean, it's going to have to be, you know, somewhat dismantled or, you know, maintained, because, you know, that's the thing, is that you don't want to start something up if it had if it was faulty to begin with.
I think this was just another part of it. I think there was something else in the reactor that went wrong and that was replaced. This was just generator that
Right. Well, you see, this is the thing, is that I was at work and we were doing some cooking, and there was this hors d'oeuvre that I put in the oven. And later on, we were going to be cooking off just mass quantities of this hors d'oeuvre, but I burnt the first batch. And so, you know, just the test run, I burnt it. And it gave me this feeling just like, oh, God, these damn things. Oh, man, no, I tried to cook them and they got burnt. And, you know, so automatically it was like they're really easy to burn and da-da-da-da-da. And then I cooked them off in like an hour. It was wonderful. They were delicious. It was perfect. There was absolutely nothing wrong with them. What it was user error. And that's the thing, is that this component to this generator may not be bad, but it's got this little stigma on it, you know.
Okay, this one, next one might require a little more discussion, but anyway, a prospect for the Oakland A's, who was the Arizona Rookie Player of the Year or something like that, is saying, "Well, great, thanks for I'm a great baseball prospect, but I'm going to leave and enter the priesthood." My view on that I mentioned here on RadioAffliction.com from January 22nd, 2010. Is that I realize there's a shortage of priests, and that, you know, when you get this calling, as they say, usually. As far as I know, I understand there's a shortage of priests, but I still think that the Catholic Church is going to be there. Your chance to play baseball, you know, it would be one of those things if he was hitting, you know, 197, which is really, really bad. And it's, you know, yeah, I just can't make it, you know, maybe I'll enter the priesthood type of thing. But here's a guy who's hitting 288, which is pretty good. He's, you know, can hit some home runs. He's got some power and all that. I might want to explore that a little bit more, but hey, you know, more power to him.
I was going to say, you know, more power to him. If he feels like he's gotten the calling, that's obviously what he's going to be determined to do as a person, as a priest, as a spiritual, you know, entity, what have you. I mean, you know, if he feels that's the calling, that's the calling, and maybe that calling is more important to him than a baseball career. But you know, that's just the thing, is that he will be walking away from a club that might not let him back in if he says, you know, this priesthood thing is.
You can always be a priest, and there's other things that you can do in the meantime. You can maybe even do some of, you know, your work, you know, as you're, you know, while you're still, I don't know. I would imagine it takes a lot of concentration to. Sticking on the sports theme here, to me, this should have been a bigger deal in a sense, because there's always been kind of inklings of this happening in golf. And could this happen? But Kelly Kulick became the first woman to win a professional bowling match. She played with the big boys, and she won the match. And it kind of the theme, it was on ESPN. They made a big deal about during the broadcast, but they didn't put it on their little scrolly on the bottom. They didn't really talk about it. They put it in their top 10, but at, like, number 9 type of thing. And it's just like a woman beat men in a sport, and then it kind of came across as, well, yeah, but it's bowling. If there was going to be such a thing where a woman could compete, it would be bowling. And I'm like, well, this is the first time it's happened. Why doesn't it happen? You know, if a woman could do it all the time, why haven't they done it type of thing? And so, I don't know. I just thought it was a bigger deal. And it, of course, I didn't lead it off. I didn't lead off the program with this story.
It is essentially one of the last things that we are talking about. But nah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, that's just the, you know, that's the thing with sports. That's kind of, you know, it's along the similar lines of what we were talking about before, is that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, hopefully going to be the way things are. You know, with the situation, because, you know, I'm not saying, hey, a woman won a bowling tournament, whoop-de-doo. What I'm saying is, good for her. You know, that should have happened 20 years ago. That should have happened, you know, it's like right on, you know, and it's like, you know, well, hopefully more women will be doing that. Hopefully, you know, if, you know, because, you know, I'd like to see it, you know, a little bit more even. And, no, I mean, it's big to me. I'm with you. I'm just like, you know, absolutely fantastic. But then at the same time, I'm like, let's see more of that. I want to see more of that.
How about seeing more of this? ABBA World theme park opens in London. Are you looking forward to that? Get your passport ready and heading off to, I have no idea.
I wouldn't make a special trip.
But since I'm in London, well, hey, what the
Sure, you know, I was in Paris and I got on the train. I went to Disneyland Paris because it was right there, and saw the differences between Disneyland Paris and Disneyland in Anaheim. And they were awesome, and I had the time of my life. I went back three more times. I thought it was great, you know. I wouldn't say, okay, you got to fly to Paris to go to Disneyland Paris. I would say that's the reason for going. But you know, if I was in London,
they kind of have a tower there, don't they? I don't know.
If I was in London, I would check it out. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be ending up in London someday. You know, I have to get a new passport and everything. And you know, that's, you know, but I'm not saying, you know, okay, I'm going to go get my passport now that there's an ABBA museum or theme park or whatever.
Well, this is also to celebrate the fact that they will be inducted, if they haven't been already, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, too.
Is that right?
And yet Supertramp is still not in, but hey, that's okay. And now a sad note, one of the Mars rovers will no longer be able to move any longer. It's stuck in a sand trap and they can't get it out. And so they'll just take some measurements as long as it's still functional. And I think it's just a little sad because I just think of the movie Wall-E. And, you know, I just think if poor little Wall-E was stuck in something and he couldn't get out. And but you know, these things.
Oh, come on. He's a trooper. He's a trooper. He did his job well. The only thing he can do is just, you know, pull the plug and drag his ass back in.
I'm going to get the other rover out there, find it somewhere, but I'm not sure. Then we got the Apple iPad that's coming out, and that should be the biggest craze in the wide world. So, anyway.
It looks like it's going to be taking over the clipboard. Everybody's going to be having one of these.
Let me show you what I've got here.
I'm going to show you. Beep, 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 beep. That space, man. I can just...
What? Have you got a radio there? No, it's just me going beep, 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 beep. No.
Yes.
Okay, so I got about 7 minutes here. You got something to talk about here yet? Or are you still in the works of getting something done here?
It is in the works, but at this moment in time right now, I swear all I need to do is just push a button. And my words will be available to anyone who is interested in reading them. And that's the thing that's fascinating, is that none of this, as somebody who has been writing my whole life, and I always excelled in writing, even in grade school, I thought I was in trouble because my third grade teacher wanted to have a special conference with mom. Talking about my writing in class, in my third grade class, was at like an eighth grade level. And so, well, that was, you know, his opinion. That's what he said. And so I've always been writing. And then when I moved out here to California and I was going to junior high before I got into Skyline High School, I was in a GATE program. You know, it was a ninth grade English class taught at a 12th grade level. And so I had just always been writing. I had never been published and I had never been paid to do any writing, but I have been writing stories after stories. I've got one character. His name is Brad Ford, and he is he's just your average normal guy who is thrown into extraordinary circumstances. And I have written three manuscripts, and I've been trying to get them published, and I've felt pretty tapped dry. Didn't feel like I had very much inspiration. I thought maybe, you know, hopefully one of these will get published and then I can release the three and maybe then release a set of the three. And then as far as writing,
kind of like the Little House in the Prairie books, remember?
Yeah. But other than that, I felt absolutely cashed in. I didn't have any, and I didn't foresee anything. And, you know, we were talking about earlier, you cannot see the future because, along came this little competition called NaNoWriMo, and the challenge is to write a 50,000 word manuscript in the month of November. Can you do it? You've got until I think it's the 31st. No, it's the 30th. It's November 30th. There is no 30th.
Correct.
Now midnight. You've got till midnight in your time zone. They even had that calculated and everything. And, you know, and it was all over the world. There was even a little post on the thing when I was submitting my entry. there was a little post that said, you know, if you are in Australia, you can no longer play. You know, so the people in Australia were done. But I finished 2 hours before the stroke of midnight with 50,182 words.
There you go.
Yes. And they said, congratulations, you're a winner. Here's a certificate. You can print it out and put your name on it. And here's a badge. You know, be sure to, you know, upload this badge and print it out so you can wear this. And, you know, and I was like, that's it, you know. A few days later, I got an email where they said, congratulations, you are da 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 da. You know, congratulations, big time. Here is this company called CreateSpace. You got your little top secret code. They will, you send them, you upload your manuscript. They will publish it in paper book format, send you a free copy, and make it available on Amazon.com for sale. And I thought, wow, all thanks and praises to NaNoWriMo, because that went past all of my expectations. And what was just so phenomenal was how the subject matter of the novel came about, because, like I said, I thought I was tapped dry, and I had attempted, I said, okay, I'm going to have a story about Brad Ford, but Brad Ford is always paired with Heather Burlingame. Those are the two main characters in any of my stories. So I started writing about Brad working in a delicatessen, and I got maybe 20 pages into it, and I started getting tapped dry. I was just like, this isn't going to last for, 38,000 more words. So I started writing, but this was the thing, is that the words counted. Those are still NaNoWriMo words. So I said, okay, I'm going to start writing about Brad Ford. I'm owning a restaurant. I'm going to see if I can work Heather in there. And that just wasn't happening. And I was just like, man, this is going to seem, more like an anthology of short stories. And so I'm at work, and I'm putting spaghetti sauce on a shelf, and I'm working in a grocery store. The girl behind me, she's putting up bottles of mineral water on the shelf, and I just got hit with, why doesn't Brad work in a grocery store? You've got so much subject matter. You've got plenty of material. You put Brad in a grocery store, and one of the girl's water bottles just exploded.
You just incorporated it then.
Yeah. Yes. And I had this phenomenal thought, and then that happened, and I turned around and I looked at her, and she was looking at me almost like she wanted to say, you dick, you just, and I was just like, I went up and I gave her a hug. I just said, I'm sorry, did I do that? And she was like, I don't know, And so, I wondered if there was a word for that, what is that, because we all have little moments like that. Since I've been sharing some of the subject matter with the story with people at work, they've been coming to me with examples of it, where a friend of mine was sitting at a stoplight, and he just suddenly thought of the word loser. And he was like, whoa, loser, what is loser? I'm not a loser. And then the light turned green, and he turned the corner, and loser was spray painted on a brick wall in super huge letters. And it was just like, whoa, wait a minute, that's weird. I thought of the word epiphany, because it was like that girl's water bottle exploded right when I had an epiphany. And so I looked up, what would that be if it was an adjective? And I went, oh, would that be epiphanic? I'm sitting here thinking I'm making up words. And I look in the dictionary, and epiphanic is an actual word used to describe what happens when you have an epiphany. And the word underneath that was an epiphenomenon. It is epiphany and phenomenon mixed together, and that is something happening in the physical world in the moment of an epiphany. And so I took that epiphanic experience, and I kind of doctored up several of them, and I put the two main characters in this story. They live in the city. They have both lived in the city their whole lives, and they have never once met, been introduced, or anything. And they have been passing by each other and everything, and they don't even know each other's existence until they bump into each other one morning. His cell phone isn't working. He's trying to figure out what time it is. She's trying to call in late, but she's not getting a signal. So they're both sitting here having this moment with their cell phone while they're walking to the same corner, where they bump into each other, and being that their arms were extended because they were, you know, trying to play with their phones, they ended in a hug. And you know, they're just like, they have this moment where they just say, oh my God, you are like the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. They're both just completely entranced with each other. But at the same time, they go, I have to get to work. And she's like, I have to get to work. And he's like, but you're okay. And she says, I'm fine. And they walk away. And they're both just like, wow. And, you know, the girl goes to work and she carries him with her for the rest of the day. And they both, when they step, they've got a little bit more power to their step. They just feel like they've got a jolt of adrenaline from each other. And they don't realize that they are sharing these little epiphenomenal experiences constantly, where she'll be dropping change out of her purse and she's in a rush, so she just walks away. Well, she doesn't realize that he's picking her change up off the ground and he's thinking, wow, it must be my lucky day. Not realizing that there's this little epiphenomenal connection between the two of them that they don't even realize, because the pace and the lifestyle that they live in their city, they can't even recognize the fact that maybe, you know, they are in the name of the story is Destiny's Playground. It is Destiny's Playground. And they are just it is aptly titled, because the whole book, it's just, you know, he will see her. I used the little example from little epiphany that I had, where he's working in the grocery store and she walks past the aisle and he stands up to go introduce himself, and the girl's water bottle blows up. So he turns around and gets a wet floor sign and a mop and he hands it to the girl, and he goes to the front of the store and she's gone. But he can still smell her, because he can remember the smell of her from when they landed in an embrace on the street corner. That
Destiny's Playground, and that'll be available from createspace.com, or Amazon, actually.
It will be on Amazon.com.
And, actually, what we'll do is we'll put a link up on that, too, then when you actually get around to doing that.
Yeah, well, no, you see, this is the thing is that they are going to be, when I hit this button, they will be sending me a proof copy. When I receive that proof copy, you know, I want to make sure that all of the dimensions are correct. All the, I want to make sure that all the I's are crossed and the T's are dotted.
There you go.
And all that kind of thing.
Destiny's Playground by Adam Bradford Clay, not just the co-host of the Radio Affliction from time to time, but an aspiring author. And we'll look for that on Amazon.com. And like I said, we'll put a link on here as well so that you can check that out. I was given a little preview of that, and I thought it was a pretty good story. So
it is entertaining enough. It is entertaining enough and hopefully original enough. And it is what I call a cheap date, because it will, you know, there will be those times where there have been times in your life where you don't have any money and she doesn't have any money. And you say, well, you know what, let's just go walk through the park. And you're like, you know, we just spent the afternoon with each other and that didn't cost us anything. And that's probably some of the best times that you've ever had in your life.
There you go.
So That's my situation.
There you go. Well, good luck with that, and we'll root for you as well. And like we said, we'll have links and all that good stuff on here as well. Okay, so we've done the news you didn't know. You didn't know you needed to know. Couldn't even say it.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap things up with some comments that we've gotten here. JL comments on the Three Mile Island story about the reactor, and he thinks it's a good thing as long as it will save or create new jobs and keeps things working out there. If it doesn't work, he says send them out to him in Missouri. And JL is got a really good, interesting website called Tax Tips for Democrats. And a little thing about comments, if you're going to make comments, is I don't mind if you put links and all that. So don't do backlinks or anything like that. Use the, when you go to make comments, use the name URL function, and that will get your name and your, and that'll do count for things that you're doing there. Let's see. Let's take some more comments here. Hey, Charlene said, I like your story about the $2 bill. Wouldn't you know I saw them being saved in my husband's coin drawer? Good question as to why no one wants to use them. I guess they think they'll be worth a lot one day, and they are. They're worth $2. Hey, Peter, your site is great. I read the post about what you're talking about, Willis, and I totally agree with you. What you're saying is clear, positive comments. The site contains excellent content. Good luck. That is about the Willis Tower, not the Sears Tower. It's the super nice blog from Chef Paul Prudhomme. Yeah, because he loves my lima beans. This is from Crack. Crack says, site has a good layout. Since this is a personal blog, I would actually ask you to organize your posts more consistently. And I think that's what we've been doing more this month. I've done half as many posts as I've done in this month of January than I did all last year. So I think we're...
In action.
Clayton says, very cool site and nice podcasting. I've been thinking about doing the same on my site, but yours is great. Keep up the nice work. Thank you very much.
Because you rock.
Let's see. First and second article I read is generally okay, but when I read about the $2 bill, it really inspired me. Well done, and keep a good job.
It inspired him to get rid of all those $2 bills he's been saving up. I think that's,
Like your blog and saw the video of Brett Favre wanting to join Minnesota. This is one of those things where I did it. You know, I've been working 10 years on this, and, you know, a lot of my video stuff, I have 100 hits. I do a thing where I punch Brett Favre, and it's gotten 3,000 hits. But, you know.
Yeah. Again, man, you're mixing it up with sports, man. Yeah. People get very passionate about that.
Carol says, good site, relevant, like the ideas of different subjects, and most of it useful to the user. That's what it's all about. Brandon disagrees. He says, put up some info to read. The $2 bill is a collectible. All right.
Can tuck that one away. you save, you know, put them right next to your bicentennial quarters, you know.
Yeah, they're still worth 25 cents, by the way.
Absolutely.
Sean says...
They work great in parking meters, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just as mine. Sean says, great site for entertainment on the radio. Celia says, very basic website, could use a few more graphics to add visual appeal. You've got a nice sidebar, add something to it. Okay. Seema says, good work done, buddy. And nice layout and a good site too from David. So those are the comments, and I thank them. You can make your comments at comments@radioaffliction.com. You can email it to them or use the shout box on that sidebar. It's a nice sidebar, so use it. So there you go. Use the shout box and make a comment, and there you can put your website on there too, so you can get a little plug for yourself as well there, and we'll... Adam, I thank you so much for coming on the radio.
Absolutely.
A good time.
Always a pleasure.
I'm glad we didn't get too sidetracked.
Only maybe 75, 80 times.
But it was relevant stuff, though. And, you know, we talked so much, we forgot today is actually National Kazoo Day. We bypassed that then because of Three Mile Island.
Well, see, I was so poor, I never had a kazoo. I always had to put the wax paper around the comb and then just hum on the comb.
That was pretty similar. Yeah, kazoos and scratch and sniff stickers and everything, too.
Sure.
Not have a deprived childhood at all. And I get all the Nerf. I had one of every Nerf ball ever. Even Nerf ping pong. That was great.
Yes.
That's probably my favorite, actually. The Nerf soccer ball was pretty cool. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, if you're lost in Wisconsin, I hope you're found soon. At least you know where you are. Don't take any wooden nickels. Use your $2 bills, and Pluto is a planet in Illinois. I'm Peter Clay. We'll see you next time on the Radio Affliction. Oh, man, we didn't even get to the Conan O'Brien Jay Leno because we talked about that the last time you were on. That whole debacle.
Yeah, whatever that is, you know, and that's the thing. Mom's just like, I don't understand. It's the same show, and I'm just like, of course it's the same show. It's just on a different network. It was a network thing, and it was the Tonight Show name, and I.
No, it was a different time. Is all it was. It was the same network.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just, whatever. It's just like, I don't care. And from the thrift store, there was a little DVD in its little single fold thing. It was Johnny Carson's Animal Hijinks. And like literally, it's only like maybe like 45 minutes long, if even that. It might only be like a half an hour long, but it's just little animal clips. And I had such a good time, man. It was a nostalgia trip. And Johnny Carson, you're sitting there watching Johnny Carson, and you're just like, this is where Jim Carrey gets like 95% of it. And the faces that Johnny used to make, you're just like, I see where Jim Carrey gets. No way. What juice?
What part of the chicken is the chicken nugget? You don't want to know.
I was just going to say the chicken nugget is a all conglomeration parts. Of all kinds of parts. There's not one particular part there, depending on where you go, because there was, you know, Burger King's chicken tenders, which were actually supposedly pieces of breast meat. They were like little fillets, you know. And so, to guys will just be like, yeah, I got it. And they're just like, well, no. Did you ever stop and think that if it was this, this, and this, and this, it would be like that? I'm like, yeah, that's the way it is. Why don't you just accept that? And they're like, because I'm not getting it. And you're like, well, get it.